Ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons that we want to talk with you again about grief share is because, as we shared with you the first time we got together, it's so important for all of us to know that, first of all, there are just sometimes when we're going to get knocked. I mean, the wind is going to get knocked out of us, and we're going to have help getting our wind back. That's just the way life is. And that said, it's good to know that there are people out there who can help us when it comes to the wind being knocked out of us by grief, and we're trying to learn to breathe again. Mm-hmm. And Grief Share is one of those organizations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are several in our area. You can access the one closest to you by going on the internet, www.griefshare.org, and then you would type in your zip code. And there are 5 to 7 in the area. I think 3 are running right now, but all that information's on their website.
And what is the primary focus of Grief Share? Is there something about it that makes it somewhat unique from other similar support groups?
To us, it is. It is very, very unique because it is faith-based and Christ-centered. That is the way that Grief Share, and we believe that you heal the best with help from God. Mm-hmm. And that's Grief Share's basis, and that's what we believe works.
Do you also participate in Grief Share, Reverend Hatfield?
Yes. When I heard that it was coming to the church, I instantly said I want to go through as a participant, and it's been unbelievable. I've gone away many Tuesday nights, just kind of gotten off by myself after everything. I have been asked to lead a small group, which is not a big deal, but to watch Helen and Melrose lead this group through their experiences has been quite a blessing and an inspiration to understand that God can bring us through what they have been through to do what they are doing now, and we're all the better for it. And that's the faith-based model that happens because of our belief in Christ and what takes place in our hearts when we're able to realize that He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't stood in the corner and laughed at us or whatever. He's right there. He wants to hear when we're angry. He wants to hear when we're succeeding, and just to realize that God is there.
So
going through as a participant just has really helped me understand how great this program is, how really, really good it is.
And you're right. It is so important that we know, for those of us who count Christ as a very important person in our lives, the most important person in our lives, wherever we are with that, it is important to know that in our time of grief, He hasn't abandoned us.
He's not left us.
He hasn't left us.
And let's don't forget the big promise. The big promise is we are going to be reunited with our loved ones.
Yes.
And that gets me through a lot of hard days. I look forward to that.
And you know, you mentioned, and I think it's so important for everyone to hear this and believe it, because again, this is just part of the reality. We're going through something that's bringing grief into our lives. We're not all going to experience it the exact same way, the exact same order, and all this kind of stuff. I know that there have been books written on the order, the stages that you go through when you're grieving, and it's not going to be the same for everyone, and not everyone's going to experience everything that's written in those stages. But that said, I think that probably even worse than trying to figure out whether or not we're going through the stages in the right order or not is deciding that we're not going to go through it at all.
If you read about that and you think that you should be doing step one and you're on step three, it could be disconcerting. But we don't. We just, there's no order. You go back through, you cycle through the stages of grief, I think. But it would be very tough to be a highly sequential person and think you were on the wrong step.
Wow. It's just tough. This may sound kind of goofy, but it's just tough to make this a left brain, right brain thing. I mean, going through the checklist, I mean, it's good to understand these stages, you know, denial and bargaining and all of that. But it's also, you can get stuck with that too. It can be a detour from where you really need to be going. And it's okay to know those stages. That's good. It's a good thing. And I think there's someone to come up with 7 stages now. But the big thing is to allow yourself to listen to yourself and to know where you are, and it's okay. The one thing you got to watch, and one thing we've been dealing with is getting stuck in grief, but there are folks there to help with all aspects of that. And
that's something you just mentioned, but the other end of that I thought was so important for us to look at, you both mentioned this, and you just state when you came here and you just stated it, the fact that some people can really get stuck in grief. It can be a terrible thing to choose not to grieve, when the reality is we're going to be grieving whether we express it openly or not. We're going to grieve. There's no way around that. But it is also unhealthy to get stuck in grief and not be making any movement forward.
Right. And there are those who take on grief as an identity, and they don't want to move forward. They don't want to leave the comfort of maybe their home. They don't want, you know, the caretakers. Maybe they need that caretaking. Mm. Well, caretakers can only do so much and for only so long. And then they have to get back to their lives. Mm. It's understandable. So I think that's one of the things we ask people in grief to do. Look at you. Where are you with this grief? If you're not able to get out of the bed and it's been 6 months, there needs to be some intervention on some level. Mm-hmm. And if we can get people to grief share, we can talk about that. So just the fact that they can make the call and walk in the door tells me they're willing and want to change and want to move forward. Not to give it up, because it's a lifelong. I don't think I'll ever be out of grief, but I'm living with it. And I think that's what we want to say. There is life after profound loss. And I'll never get over it. And I still have bad days, or they're not as long. Bad moments, but I also have good moments. So I think that's the goal that we try to tell people it's possible.
What are, you mentioned that some people just don't want to come out that door. They're just going to stay in that house. What are, when you look at some of the specifics of it, reasons that people would get stuck in grief?
One observation of mine is when they... when it becomes complex, when there are other things going on. Let's take just an example. Let's say a couple loses a child. Well, if that couple had marital problems before the loss of that child, or there are other things going on, maybe with another sibling, and all of that is thrown into the grief to try to correct all of it at one time, you get stuck, because it's really hard to separate out what are we really looking at. And that's what I like about grief share, because it, what was the phrase last week, hogging the spotlight or something like that, or wanting to, some folks just love that spotlight in one area because they're afraid of what's on the other side, not sure what's on the other side. They may be feeling like they're going to lose love for their lost one or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's usually kind of an irrational thought that leaves somebody in stuck in grief. But one of the big things is when it's complex, when it just involves a lot of other things. And that's when it takes a pretty important ear for someone to hear through all of that and be able to say, well, let's take this one and separate it out a little bit. Where are you with your grief? Does that sound right?
It does. And a lot of what we see, sometimes there's depression that's associated with grief anyway. But some people come to the grief experience already depressed. So now we have to figure out, what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with the depression and the grief, or, you know, which is which? And some people come with multiple losses. Mm-hmm. I had a woman ask me, what should I grieve? Should I grieve my first loss or my second loss? She had two very significant losses, and she said, what should I do first? What's on your heart first? Who are you grieving right this minute would be my answer to that. But so people come with all different kinds of experiences they bring to the grief experience, which oftentimes complicates things.
Yeah, you said complicates things.
As if it didn't already complicate enough.
Yeah, yeah. Because I said, wow, man, I mean, you have all of this going on. Just if it's just the loss of that one person, let's just assume that finances are in order. That's just not an issue. Okay. Let's just assume that the children who are with us are doing well in school. They're not giving us problems at home. Let's just assume, just to simplify the picture, the scenario, assume that all things being equal, life really is going well overall. Okay. It's not perfect, but for the most part, it's going well. No kids are being locked up. Mom and dad, you know, from time to time, they might have a disagreement, but it's obvious. They really do love each other. Things are going well, and then we lose a loved one. That in itself is enough to really shake us up.
Yes.
But when you start adding all these other issues, too, I can see how that can get so confusing.
And I have recently, and I think it's a privilege to be with a family who's grieving. I've seen a healthy grieving family recently. So there is that. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who just inherently know that tears and love and all of that combined, and it's wonderful to watch, you know. Wow.
Y'all stay with us. We'll be right back.